The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. There is an interesting juxtaposition formed by the gospel readings in this year's lectionary, Series C, for Pentecost and Trinity Sundays. Now, both readings are portions of John chapter 16. Both have to do with certain elements in the work of the Holy Spirit. They occur consecutively in the gospel text, so that's not what makes for what I'm calling an interesting juxtaposition. But that they are read in that order as we make the transition from the liturgical semester of our Lord to the semester of the church does. Listen to just one sentence from the Pentecost Gospel, John chapter 16, verse 8. "And when he comes, that one will convince or convict the world concerning sin and concerning righteousness or justification and concerning judgment." In their treatment of the law, some Lutheran dogmaticians have used the technical term usus elenchticus to describe the function of the law to convict sinners of sin. The Latin word elenchticus is a derivative of the Greek elenchō, the word Jesus uses here to describe the work of the Holy Spirit, that one will convict the world. However, this convincing, convicting work of the Spirit is clearly not just a law work. It most certainly includes gospel in convincing the world, in convincing people concerning dikaiosune, that is, righteousness or justification. And this he accomplishes by bearing witness concerning Jesus. The point is, there is something that we might properly call the opus elenchticus spiriti, the convincing or convicting work of the Spirit. He shows us what we are without Christ. He convinces or convicts concerning sin, said Jesus, because people do not believe in me. And he shows us what we have in Christ. He convinces concerning righteousness or justification because Jesus goes to the Father and we do not see him anymore, and concerning the judgment because the ruler of this world has been judged. The liturgical semester from Advent to Pentecost focused our attention on the work of our Lord Christ. His birth, his ministry, his suffering, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and his sending of the Holy Spirit. All of this for us and for our salvation. Now we have moved into the half year of the church, also called the time of the church, a time which is used to apply to the Christian life the lessons of the first half of the year. A season of instruction and discipline in which the implications of the historic revelation of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are studied and applied to the church's inner life and outer witness, a time which is meant to emphasize the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay, now let's listen to the gospel for Trinity Sunday, again from John chapter 16. Jesus continues to speak to his disciples, and he says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you are not able to pick up on them yet. When that one comes, the Spirit of truth, he will lead or guide you in all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but whatever he will hear, he will speak, and he makes known to you the things to come. That one will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and make it known to you. All things, whatever the Father has, are mine. That's why I say that he, the Spirit, takes from what is mine and makes it known to you. He will lead or guide you in all truth." Well, there's leading and there's leading. But on the basis of the connections this word for leading has with the Old Testament, for example, it's used most often in the Psalms, it describes not a lead 'em around by the nose kind of leading, not a guiding that requires coercion, but the leading of willing followers, of followers who have been made willing. "Yahweh leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake," observes the psalmist. And on another occasion, he prays, "Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." The elenchic work, the convincing, convicting work of the Holy Spirit goes on, even in the life of the believer. But there is this additional work, a sort of third use work, I'll call it, that is different because the believer has been made different. The life of the one who believes, of the one in whom the elenchic work of the Spirit has taken hold, is different. What Jesus places before us here is the adventure of the Christian life led by the Spirit. Jesus unfolds this guiding work of the Spirit in three sentences, each of which culminates in a declaration that the Spirit makes something known to us. He doesn't speak on his own, but speaks what he hears and makes known the coming things. He glorifies Christ because he takes stuff that belongs to Christ and makes it known to the believer. And what belongs to the Son belongs also to the Father, so what the Spirit makes known belongs to and comes from the fullness of the Godhead. The picture that forms for me is like that of a harbor pilot. The pilot doesn't take actual control of the ship, at least not necessarily, that is, giving direct orders for speed and direction. But he works through the conning officer. He points out the important navigational markers, ranges, buoys, landmarks, and makes known to the conning officer how to use them, how to follow them. In a similar way, the Spirit is present as a pilot for the believer, encouraging, exhorting, correcting, pointing out, making known what's coming, making known the things that are of the Father and the Son to make sure we get safely where we're supposed to be going. What Jesus describes here pulls together such manifestations of the Spirit as Philip's encounter with the Ethiopian eunuch. How can I understand unless someone guides me? What Jesus describes here entails the assurance that when a Christian is called to give an account of the hope that is ours, the Spirit gives us the very words we need, takes of what is Christ's, and makes it known in that very hour. Whether this is your very first term here at Concordia Seminary, or just the beginning of another one for you, whether you're here just to do some continuing ed or you've returned to begin or continue graduate study, I submit that the Spirit has performed a kind of opus electicus on you. He has convinced you to be here, to do whatever you've come here to do. But that's not all there is to it. The one who has persuaded you will now surely help you. He will guide you, pointing out the things that lie along the way and making known the gifts of Christ and the blessing of the Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.